If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to read a little bit or see what we can find about praise, which is what we started to talk about yesterday, to boisterously, clamorously, celebratory praise to God. And we talked about and read about it. We then got on to yada, yada, yada. We went to yada, which was the Lord, help me. I need you. I need you. Pick me up. Strengthen me. Bless. Come to me, Lord. And these are ways to praise the Lord. It's not all the same. Of course, one is not the same as the other. They're different. But they both are translated in some form of praise to God. Before we go any further, I should mention that tonight, weather permitting, and I think the weather is permitting, that we have a meeting out on the beach. At same time, 8:15, the bonfire will be lit, and after the meeting on the beach, we'll have opportunity to have fellowship and to have maybe some s'mores. If you buy steaks, we can grill the steaks. But otherwise, we'll settle for s'mores. And so I hope that that's enjoyable to you. And I trust that throughout the day, we'll continue to have times of prayer, individually, corporately, praising and thanking Jesus, no matter the ping pong game. Let's see how those who lose take defeat, if they can still praise the Lord. That's the test. That's where the tests are. Well, we're proven whether or not we've learned in the meetings what we're supposed to learn. It's when we get into the darkest night if we're still praising the Lord and still rejoicing in Him. Well, if you have a Bible, this morning the first word that we're going to look at in the Hebrew language is kind of very similar to yada. This is todah, T-O-D-A-H. So I hope your vocabulary is expanding. And I don't really care if you remember the Hebrew or not. It's not important. The important thing is that you learn in your life to practice what these words mean. Because these are not just Hebrew words that we pulled out of the thin air, but they're Hebrew words that are in the Bible that say that this is what praise is. And what todah means is to lift the hands. You say, well, we had that yesterday. That's yada. Well, that's yada, but it's also todah. Because there are different reasons why we lift our hands. Yesterday we said that we lift our hands to receive, to take, to plead. But todah is a little bit different. It's still the raised hands, the extension of the hand. Let me see if I got that exactly right. Extension of the hand in offering a sacrifice. So it's kind of the opposite almost. It's still this. And you know, when you lift your hands, you don't have to define for everybody, oh, this is todah, not yada, so that you all understand. I'm not yadaing now, I'm todahing. The Lord knows what you're yadaing or todahing, or if you're just putting your hands up because you're stretching. He knows it all. But He knows my heart is praising Him by I'm offering myself to Him. How many times have you sung the chorus or song, I surrender all? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Master or Savior. I surrender all. And how many times, and I don't know what the answer is, but how many times when you sang a chorus like that, did you surrender? Did you lift your hands? You yadded. You didn't even know, or you toted. You toted and you didn't even know you were totoing. But you just offered yourself. Lord, I give myself a sacrifice. I'm giving myself to You. The thought would be Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer yourself, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto You. Lord, it's my reasonable, my spiritual act of worship. My reasonable act of service is just to totem myself to You. So, Lord, I want You. I need You. But, Lord, I also give myself to You. And I don't know if you can yoda and tada at the same time. I don't know. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But they're both ways in which we want to learn to praise the Lord. If you want the Hebrew place where it's found, it's all over the place. But turn to the 50th chapter of Psalms. It's mentioned twice in Psalm 50. It's the 14th verse for one. It says, sacrifice, thank offerings. Well, that's Toda. Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But here, the psalmist, in the context, he says, oh, the way you offer yourself, the way you give yourself is just, here I am, Lord. Now, I know, I do believe that you can do that without lifting your hands. You can present yourself or give yourself or offer a sacrifice of thanks to the Lord without lifting your hands. But the Bible says here, at least, here the Bible says that this is the way you do that. You Toda. You give a thank offering to the Lord. And as you do, and then you fulfill your vows, and then you call upon him in the day of trouble, and he'll hear and answer. It's the last or next to the last verse, I guess, the last verse in the same psalm. He who sacrifices thank offerings to me. Well, that's the same word. Lord, I just thank you. Now, how many times again? You've done that many, many times. All of you have. But maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never offered a thank offering. Never offered a thank offering with extended arms. But it's right to do that. It's biblical to do that. And again, it's not church tradition. It's not the fellowship's way. It's not camp. It's not what Brother Gardner said. This Brother Gardner didn't write this. The Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit said, offer as you offer thank offerings. The rest of that verse is tremendous. The rest of the verse. Whoso offereth praise, the King James says. Sorry, I'm reading the NIV. Sorry, Brother Stephen. But the King James says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Well, whoso offereth praise is that word Toda. Well, this is the way it says here. And then it goes on, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And that's the way. As you offer thank offerings to me, that's the way that I show to them, the one offering the thank offering, that's the way I show to them my salvation. And so I want to learn. I want to learn to offer praise. So I want to learn to, with my mouth, halal. I want to learn to yada. And I want to learn to toda. And I want to go on to learn to shabak. Shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. I find alternate spellings of all these things. I don't know if maybe the guy that wrote it didn't know Hebrew or... But the way, one of the ways at least, is S-H-A-B-A-C-H. And here's one that you don't do all the time, but you should sometimes. And I know, you may not believe when I say this, but I've been told, and I've been told years ago especially, that I was shy, a little reserved, and I am. I'd rather, sit to the back than the front. I'd rather take another place than where I am now. I'm only doing this because I think the Lord wants me to, not because I want to at all. But I would never want to do shabak. Because it's just not me. It's not my nature, my personality. I mean, at a basketball game, I would shabak a lot. And some other places, I might shabak. But in church, I would never shabak. And as you don't know what I'm talking about yet, because you don't know what shabak means. You'll get there in a minute. But I had to learn. I really had to learn. But I think the Holy Spirit teaches us. Instructs us. Now, the Bible instructs us. The Bible is the guidebook. It teaches us how to live and what to do. And so the Bible says this, but I that didn't really make it too different for me when I was younger. But I learned, and I think the Holy Spirit inspires over time, shabak. I don't think you should just shabak for the fun of it or because you want to. I think you need to shabak when the Holy Spirit inspires you to shabak. Well, what does shabak mean? Well, does anybody know? Yeah, I heard it. Who said it? What'd you say?
Jump.
Oh, jump. No.
Shout.
Shout. I don't think jump is one of the seven ways, but I think you can. That's another story. It's okay. Jump is good. But shout is in the Bible. Shout. Now, how many of you like to shout? Well, some of you like to shout. Especially, well, yeah. But I mean, when we come together. You know, to shout, this is the dictionary or the lexicon definition. To shout using volume. Well, how do you shout quietly? When you shout, you use volume. But the Bible teaches us that it's okay to shout. As a matter of fact, it's praise when you shout. Not all the time. And by the way, you know, we're not going to be lopsided for long. We're going to balance this out, maybe even this morning. But there's a place and a time. There's a little chorus that we sing. And when we sing it, we're not talking about Pilgrim Camp or any other camp. It's talking about the camp of the people of God. Because there's a biblical story that you find in the Old Testament that teaches this. There's a shout of a king among them. There's a shout we sing in the camp. There's a shout in the camp. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's an echo in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a shabak in the camp. Hallelujah. A shout. The Bible says. There's not a whisper in the camp. There probably could be, and there's nothing wrong with a whisper in the camp. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the Bible says that his people are a people that from time to time there's a shout among them. If you turn to Psalm 45, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Well, that's the English translation, that's the NIV translation, but the word shabak is in that verse. The Lord is great, and his praises should be shouted. He should be screamed about from the housetops. He should be loudly, with volume, glorified and praised. You have the same same word in Psalm 47, verse 1. This one, we sang it yesterday. We put it to song. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Then what's the next word? Shout. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shabak to God with the voice of triumph. Now, when the Bible uses the word shout, it means exactly what it says. But I'll sit here and say, well, that's not me. I don't do that. And I would take issue with anybody that would say that, because I would tell you, you do that. Maybe you don't do it in church or in meetings and when you come to worship and praise the Lord, but you shout. When you get excited and when there's something to be excited about, you even the most timid, shyest, quietest person, you have an opportunity once in every while to give a shout. It could be when you opened up your Christmas present or birthday present and you saw what was in there and you were just amazed and blown away by, he bought that. She bought that for me. They gave that to me. Well, thank you. Oh, you get so, and you shout. Oh, there's a shout in the camp. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Isaiah chapter 12. What's the last verse say? I think it belongs in the Psalms. It's supposed to be, but it's in Isaiah 12. Because say it loud, Brother Tom.
Cry out and shout, O thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Okay, did you all hear what Brother Tom said? That whole chapter talks about the Lord once was angry with me, but he's not angry with me anymore. His anger has turned away from me, and now he comforts me, and he's become my salvation, and he's become my song, and I'm drawing water out of these wells. That's the context. He saved me. The blood cleansed me. Now, Isaiah didn't know about the blood cleansing, but that's what we would look at it and suggest it means. And I'm drawing water out of these wells of salvation. And then when he gets to the end of the psalm, of the chapter, Isaiah 12, he says, so cry out and shout, you inhabitant, inhabitress, the original, the women and the men and everybody else included. Cry out and shout, you inhabitants of Zion. Now, who here this morning is an inhabitant who lives? Who lives in Zion? The city of God, where the people of God dwell. Who lives in Zion? Well, you do. You're not Zion City, Illinois. But who lives in Zion, the spiritual kingdom of God? We do. You do. I do. Well, if I'm an inhabitant of Zion, who's the one that's the king over us, inhabitants of Zion? The king over us is the Lord, the one who's strong and mighty in battle, the one that fights for us, the one who's we're drawing water out of his wells of salvation. And so here the Isaiah says, cry out and turn the volume up sometimes. I can hear it now. I can hear. Maybe I'm listening. I don't know. I'm not picking up who I'm hearing it from. But somebody's saying, God's not deaf. Do you ever hear anybody say that? God's not deaf. I don't have to lift my... He's not deaf. I know he's not deaf. I know that he can hear the thoughts of my heart. How quiet are they? They're not making anything. My stomach might be rumbling, but my thoughts, they're not doing nothing. They're not even rumbling. But he hears my thoughts. He discerns them afar off. He knows what I'm going to think before I think it. So yeah, that can be really, really quiet, and he hears that. He hears the groanings that cannot be uttered. He hears them. So you're making a case against yourself. No, I'm not. Because the Bible suggests and says both. Yes, he hears the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Yes, he hears the groanings that can't be uttered. No, he's not deaf. His ear is open to the cry of the righteous, whether it's an inaudible, silent cry or whether it's a Shabbat cry. He hears. But the Bible says, cry out and shout. The Bible knows that God's not deaf, and I know that God's not deaf, but yet the Bible tells me that I'm to cry out and shout. And there are times in meetings, there are times maybe in your life where it's a good thing to lift up your voice with volume and shout. Shout the victory in Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Shout your praise. And the songwriters pick up on it, and we often sing songs and shout your freedom everywhere. His eternal name declare, victory, victory. Sing your triumph here below in the face, victory. Yeah, we sing the songs about shouting. We read the verses about shouting. We say, cry out and shout down. But then we don't. And again, I don't think any of these things need to all the time be. And when the Bible 95 times says Hallel, lift your voice up in praise to him. When the Bible more than that, Yada is more than 95 times. Extend your hands, praise him, reach out to him, give him glory. And when there are a dozen or so times in the Old Testament where we're taught to Shabbat, well, then maybe the weight and where the weight is put is what we're supposed to be doing. But we need to do that because there are times and there are testimonies that I've heard, and I'm going to stop soon, so I don't want to go into too many testimonies of what I've heard. But there are victories that are won as you offer a sacrifice of praise. As you offer a shout of praise to God, that's the way he shows his salvation. And I've known people that have shouted their way out of their dumps. Brother Hans Walfogel, who many of you have heard of, and maybe you read those little readings, and you can buy the little book down in the boathouse of Daily Manna, it's called, and you'll find a little sentence for every day of the year. And there are many of them, several of them, that suggest that praise is the shortcut and shouting your praise to God will lift you out of your dumps, out of your doldrums, out of the shadows and the gloom and the darkness and everything. You can just shout your freedom, shout your way out, praise the Lord and glorify Him. There's one last Shabbat that I'd like to call your attention to, at least. It's in the fourth chapter of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4, you have the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when the Lord turned something in his head a quarter of a turn, and he became, I don't know what he became. He lost his marbles. He became insane. He had something mentally that broke down, and he couldn't function. And the Bible describes what happened to him for 7 years. That's a long time. It's because he didn't glorify God. He thought he, by his own power, did something great in Babylon and made Babylon what it was. And the Lord said, well, I'll show you how great you are. Did something there. And next thing you knew, he was like a, he says, I'm like an animal. I'm groveling around. It seems like his nails just, he didn't cut them ever. And his hair is just all messy and dirty and matted, and he was like he lost his sensibility, and he wasn't well. And then God restored him. It's in the fourth chapter of Daniel. God came to him and restored him. And near the end of that chapter, when he got better, he said, Now I Shabbat, praise, I guess the King James says. Now I praise and exalt God. Now I know that He's really God. Now, when God does something like he did for Nebuchadnezzar, when he does that great thing, when he takes you out of whatever sickness or need that you may have had, and he delivers you, well, those are the times that I think it's maybe appropriate, especially, to shout, to praise and glorify with a loud voice. Not only those times, but especially those times. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I was in that mess. I was really a mess in so many different ways, on so many different levels. But God came to me and God restored me. And I just couldn't help but shout my praise. I think he yachted, he toted, he did everything all at once. I mean, because he was so happy for the freedom that he now experienced and the restoration that came back into his life. And I think every once in a while, you and I, by the grace of God, we give him that thanks. We shout our freedom. We shout our praise. Just one last one, so that we finish this by tomorrow. Barak, B-A-R-A-K. Now this is, you might think, well, this isn't really praise. This is something else. I would call, no, it's praise. That word Barak means to kneel down. To kneel down in submission. So yeah, we can kneel down and still yada and tota. I guess you can do that. But you just kneel down reverentially. You bow before the Lord your Maker. You fall down prostrate at His feet in recognition of who He is and the homage, the glory that you want to ascribe to him. And so you bow low and do him reverence. And the Bible calls that praise. Not anything with my mouth, not anything with my voice, not loud, not soft, just bowing and acknowledging who he is. And that's, again, something that's prolific in the Bible. It's in the fifth Psalm, where the psalmist says, in reverence will I bow down in your holy temple. Psalm 95, verse 6, come let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Well, on and on. 1 Chronicles 29, they bowed low after the Lord gave them a victory. 1 Kings chapter 8, it's the same thing there. They bowed and they bowed low before God. You know, these are all things that I got to learn. And you can do all this stuff just perfunctorily. You can just do it all because you know, that's what we do. So we throw up our hands. We don't even know why. There's no really good reason. We open our mouths and join in the time of singing and rejoicing, and we really don't know why. It's just because everybody else is, and we can bow down before him, and we can bow down because, I don't know, just because everybody else does, or that's one of the religious things to do. But these can all be acts of worship and praise to our God. And that's why, Lord, when you see me rendering worship, praise to you, is it pleasing? I seek those who worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm not just looking for posture. I'm not just listening for noise. I'm looking at your heart. In a touched heart, a life that's been touched by the Spirit of God, that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He lifts us up from the miry clay, and he sets our feet upon a rock, and then there's a song that's in our hearts, and it's a song of praise. It's a song that's been caused by an experience that we've had in communion with the one who is our Maker. Let us bow down before him. And how, again, all of these different ways, expressions of our praise, how all of them, when they're in God, when we do them because of, inspired by, how they're pleasing to him, and that's the way. That's the way he manifests himself. Jesus can manifest himself to you in quietness as you bow before him, just as mightily as when you're standing with your arms raised, shouting your praise to God. Because it's not, again, the way that we're expressing necessarily, it's our hearts. And as you bow before him, and how many times I've been in such silent meetings, where there hasn't been a lot of praise and a lot of loud worship, there's a time, and it's good to do that, but it's also good to bow to Baruch, to acknowledge who he is. Our Lord, our King, our Maker, Jesus, we need to learn. These are your ways. This is what your word teaches us. In the Psalms, in Daniel, in Chronicles, in Kings, and in the Old Testament, these are Hebrew words. And people worshiped you. They worshiped back then in the Old Covenant, when you did stuff for them, when you showed yourself strong and mighty on their behalf, there was a response. They worshiped. And then there were times when, before the fact, they worshiped and they praised, and then you showed yourself strong and mighty. So it's not only something we do after, it's something we do before. It's something we always do. Because you're always worthy of our praise. And Lord, whatever ways you inspire us to praise you, we pray that our lives would be lives of ceaseless praise. That, Lord, it would be our story and our song to praise you all day, every day, because you're always worthy. And so assist and help us, Lord, and teach us. Teach us not just one way to praise, not just one thing or way to praise you, but, Lord, help us to allow you by the Spirit of God to elicit that praise from our lives to you, to your heart, as you see fit and as you desire. We thank you, dear Lord, for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon us. We thank you for ministering to our need. We thank you for the changes that you've wrought. In Jesus, we pray that as we leave today, Lord, that as we go wherever we are, down in the boathouse, on the grounds, back in our rooms, in the meals in the palace, throughout the day, Lord, we just pray that your presence will still be with us and your praise will continually be in our mouth. Lord, we thank you again and ask your rich blessing upon staff and guests throughout this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. And see you later.